You ready, Chris? All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Amador Air District meeting for Tuesday, September 16th. We have a quorum. All right, would you join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty.
All right. First item is approval of today's agenda.
Make a motion to approve it.
Second.
We had a motion by
somebody.
Novelli and a second by Onetto. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Public matters not on the agenda. These are discussion items only. No action will be taken. Please note there's a 5-minute limit per topic.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a special request for the chairman. He's the boss here. I think being as you're the head of the air district, you should go over to El Dorado County and tell a fire to stop polluting our air.
Aren't we getting it from one down by Madera, too?
Yes.
It's kind of they're coming both ends, yeah.
Well, actually, I just looked out, and that one over there in El Dorado looks like, boy, it's really going still.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe we could send him a smoke signal. Send it back at him, Brian.
I think what it is we better start to manage your forest, or Mother Nature's going to do it for us, and she's not too kind.
Yeah. All right, any other public matters not on the agenda? If not, we'll go into administrative matters. Item one, or the review of the minutes of August 19th, 2014, as presented or revised. Any comments, corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Director Forrester, second by
Peters.
Director Peters. I wasn't looking down there.
Under discussion, did we ever get any word back from Amador City on appointee coming to the
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's come up a little later.
All right. Thank you.
All right. With
for the question.
Yeah. That being said, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
No moved. Item number two is a management contract signed by the county and notification of salary adjustment for APCO services. This is an action item. And our director, Jim.
Yeah.
Welcome, by the way.
Welcome.
McCargue, Air Pollution Control Officer. Two things going on here. It's coming back to you the contract that was signed and executed by the county that was previously before you. And there's a notification of a salary adjustment. And I want to assure you, I'm not asking for a raise just 3 weeks into my job. I want to clarify that the salary that was included was not accurate. It did not take into account the agreed upon increase of 10% that was agreed when I took on this role. So that had to be adjusted to what you see in your agenda packet. So again, I think that's all we needed to do is just, do we need to do, Chris, sign a new contract or just?
No?
Approved by action.
Just a curious question on that. That $90.98 an hour for the rate, that seems high. Is that take in all the, like, basically your management cost and
yeah, when I saw that, I thought, all right, I got a heck of a raise.
No.
No, it's not what I'm getting. It's the fully loaded cost with all the costs that go along with it. And it is less than what was being charged previously by the previous APCO. So I will tell you that much.
Less than?
Less than.
I thought the previous number was 82-ish.
That was Jim's previous
that
loaded
was
rate.
My number, but without the agreed 10%. Upon increase. The number previous to that was
96?
Cost for Mike Boitano was 96.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
96.
Is it still anticipated that this is like a 25% time investment on your part for this position?
Well, I can tell you, initially it's going to take more time. And I've kind of, in the last 3 weeks that I've been doing this work, I've basically allotted about 50% of my time to Air District because there's a lot to learn and a lot to understand and to meet with Chris and with Matt, the inspector. So I really do think that the time initially is going to be more than that, but I would think after some learning curve that the time requirement will go back down. But I know, you know, with the priorities that the board sets forth and if we do come up with some programs and some projects that we want to do, there's some work ahead of us here.
Yeah, no, I could see where there'd be a learning curve for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how, I mean, we need to budget as an Air District an approximate salary range, and the number of 25% is expressed in page one under the now therefore, an estimated 25% of Jim's time for the district, if that's going to change. I figured that as a total expenditure per year at the loaded rate of about $47,000 a year. But if we need to adjust that, we
but
probably want to.
You're wondering, John, if maybe 35 or 30 might not be more realistic.
Well, either in terms of a percentage or to up the cost. Like I said, the math shows about $47,000 a year at 25%. Do we need to budget, you know, $60,000 for APCO salaries for the course of the year?
And the discussions I've had with Chuck Eiley is that initially the Waste Management Department is going to put through a new revenue line to get compensation from the Air District for my time. And initially they're just going to put in 25% because we don't really know. And then the idea is to go back after some period of time, maybe 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever, take a look at it and see what the actuals are, and then we'll have a better idea of what, you know, what really is required.
I would think that learning curve is probably more on the order of 6 months rather than 8 or 12 weeks. So
yeah,
I think maybe half a year, we do sort of a mid-year gut check on the budget and see where we stand at that point.
We've adopted the final budget for this district already, have we not, Chris?
Yeah.
Don't they start the budget process in January, February, or March, preliminarily?
Yeah, but we could do a mid-year adjustment, too, like you're saying, once we have a little time under
okay.
our belt.
That's okay. Pretty typical, that mid-year adjustment.
Okay. So, Chris, if I hear you right, we need a motion to adjust the starting salary in the contract without writing a new contract.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We had a motion by Novelli, a second by Peters. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Jim, you're the whole program today. Office location determination.
Okay. the office location determination, you have in here a memo where we've laid out the proposal to move the Air District staff over to this building here within the Public Works Department. And we were able to get some cost allocations for square feet. And what we're looking at is actually what I'd like to do is give you a handout. Chris, I made some copies of this. I'll give you one. I think there's an extra one that'll come around. And what we did is we looked at a 16 by 16 space within the Public Works Department, and then one half of the office that I currently one half of the space that I currently have, and that comes up with a total of $812.07 a month, which is less than the current amount that costs for space over at the General Services Building of $1,025 a month. And I was able to negotiate just on space alone. They're at the General Services Administration Building. They're paying a number of other costs, including common space and shared space, and we were able to get that taken out, and it just the resulting cost is just for the 16 by 16 square foot area, and then one half of my office, which is 72 square feet, and again it's $812.07 a month. And I'm recommending a move over to this building for a number of reasons. And I think the first of which is to have some well-defined Air District space. Right now, Chris is in a small office of her own, and Matt is in 36 square feet, I think, of a shared office with ag staff. I think it's important to have the Air District in its own space because it is its own entity. And we were able to see, if you see on that diagram, we were able to get a space where both of them can, it's kind of an open format space, so it's not cubicles, but they will each have their own desk, they will have their own shelves, bookshelves and filing and file cabinets. And so I think it's important for that. I also think it's important for me to be in close proximity to the Air District staff because in these first 3 weeks I've found that it's been a challenge to constantly go up to the General Services Building, have them come down here, and it would allow for a much smoother operation if we were able to be to cohabitate, so to speak, in the same office space. And so I really think this is a good plan, and I would like to recommend that.
The beauty of it is you're somewhat of a permitting agency as well, so
that's, you know, right,
you'll be there with all the permitting departments.
That's right. And you can see the counter area in that reception. We have a nice amount of counter space, and I think Chris has already talked about having some changes made to the counter as far as electrical and different things that will allow her to function right there. She's going to be right across from where the counter space is, so customers coming in for burn permits or other Air District business will be able to have direct access to Chris as soon as they come into that space. So it really does, I think, facilitate a good customer interaction.
I note, Jim, that when it comes to budgeting for your professional services time, we budgeted for 25% of your time, and I'm looking down the road, big picture, but you've dedicated or allocated 50% of your office for the Air District in terms of the cost. Can you explain why that is?
I was debating on if I was going to move and take an office. If you can see, there's some folks in offices that are a little closer to the pink area where the Air District is. I was debating on moving my office, but for the time being, I felt like it was important to move the Air District staff from the General Services over to this building, and at a later date decide if I want to change my office and move to a different one, or move, even expand that 16 by 14 space and maybe even put me in that space too. So in the absence of defining exactly what we were going to do, and knowing based upon these first 3 weeks that my time I felt was going to be at least 50%, I felt like 50% of the office right now would be appropriate.
Okay.
But I think that, again, that's something that should be revisited, like you said, 6 months down the road.
Do we know how much Mike Boitano had budgeted for his office?
Chris, we've been able to figure it out about 50%.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to treat it as a comparison to the amount of time spent by the individual rather than a comparison to, we're back to the old days when we rented space someplace else and incurred the full cost. You don't get to rent an office space for the APCO at half the time because he's only spending half that amount of time working on it. You're still renting the space full time. So kind of hard to equate that to time spent rather than what the costs would be if you were renting elsewhere in the open market.
Right.
And this monthly rent, Jim, with the A87 costs in there, that's all inclusive of all utilities and so forth.
That's right. That's another point. As previously, up at the general services, there was an A87, but apparently it didn't include the facilities costs. So that was an additional cost per square foot. I forget what it was, 381 or something like that. So this is an all-inclusive cost that you see there. And that 1471 is a cost per square foot per year, correct, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not 1471 on a monthly basis. That would be way too high.
Yeah. So the 812 a month is fully loaded, includes all utility
costs as
well.
That's right, everything.
You're 10 minutes early.
I'd move approval of relocation of Amador Air District services and personnel to the spaces as represented in the handout today and at the cost stated in the memorandum.
I'll second that.
Right. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll call for the question. It was Director Plaz, second by Director Onetto. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Welcome, Lloyd. Number four is transportation for the APCO discussion and possible action.
Yes, and for a vehicle for official business, currently, in as waste management, I borrow a vehicle from Public Works Department, I'm charged for the cost to use that vehicle as well as the cost for gasoline. And with the time requirements for the air pollution control officer duties and some changes taking place in Public Works, they have some big projects coming up. The demands on the vehicles looks like it's just not going to work the way it's currently set up. So there has become a need for me to have a vehicle in particular for the air pollution control officer, but then also for that percentage of time that I'll be doing waste management duties. Obviously, the waste management duties, would be tracked and the costs would be paid for by the waste management department. So I've looked into a couple things. The county motor pool doesn't seem to have much vehicles. I think they have one big expedition or something like that, but it's a very large vehicle and not very good on gas. So we've looked at some different ideas as far as coming up with transportation and wanted to look at coming up with some sort of plan for a vehicle that would work for me to use. And again, it would be both for the APCO and for waste management in some sort of sharing capacity as far as the cost of the vehicle.
Jim, have you plan on looking into like Jeff Holman?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Chris was nice enough to print out a sheet from I don't have copies of it, but it's a sheet from Jeff Holman, and it's a 2010 Ford Escape, and it looks like it's 44,000 miles on it, V6 flex fuel, and it's $15,999. And apparently that was where you went for Matt's vehicle.
Is that an all-wheel drive?
This is. It's six-speed with overdrive, four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
So the district already owns a vehicle that Matt drives, is that correct?
That's right.
Doesn't he drive that Ford? Doesn't he drive a Ford Fusion or something like that?
It's also an Escape.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought so.
The Fusion went to Ag?
I believe so.
Okay.
You need you to have a vehicle that represents Amador County, though, like a Hummer.
Not quite.
Yeah.
Right in our air district meeting with that.
Yeah. And, you know, Jim, between your air district and waste management, how many miles a year do you think you'd put on?
Let's see, between air district and waste management. Gosh, Brian, I'd have to check with the public works accountant.
15,000 a year, you think, maybe?
I'm thinking
a little less.
10,000 maybe, closer to 10,000.
Did Mike have any mileage logs, Chris?
No mileage logs.
I was just looking for a point of reference.
Yeah. As Matt has said, we plan on...
I think it would be good, Mr. Chairman, if staff went out and investigated some of these avenues, and by all means, I mean, you need a vehicle. I mean, let's face it. But, you know, if you could buy something local, that so be it. If you can't, I understand. But I think you need a vehicle. And, you know, if you want to, 44,000 miles seems like a lot of miles on a used vehicle if you're going to use it. But whatever staff recommends, I'd be willing to help facilitate that he gets himself a decent vehicle so that he can start off in this new job and this new program running without any vehicle problems.
Thanks. 44,000 would be okay. He's not running that many miles.
So we'll refer this back to staff for investigation.
Who would do the maintenance on this vehicle? Our county...
General Services.
Owned by the Air District, who's going to do the maintenance?
For the vehicles that we've had and the one that we have. Stop. We don't add to his.
Since the flow of money tends to go from the Air District to the county for rental of space and professional services, and there's a steady flow of money going from the district that direction. What we're now talking about or proposing here is, for the purpose of this vehicle, having reimbursement come the other direction from the county by virtue of waste management back to the Air District for a pro-rata share of the vehicle. Does that make sense in the big picture, or would it make more sense for the county waste management, which apparently needs a vehicle also, right?
Right.
Would it make more sense for the county to secure a vehicle for waste management and then have the district lease or rent or reimburse on a pro rata basis, just as we do for other services and other facilities?
That, along with that question, would the vehicle be dedicated, if it was purchased that way, would it be dedicated to you and your staff? Or would it fall into the public works pool?
No, at least the way we're looking at it right now is, and I agree, we could talk about what Robin brought up, but at least right now it would be an Air District vehicle that the Air District would then invoice Waste Management, and Waste Management would reimburse the Air District for Waste Management's percentage or usage of the vehicle. It would not be a public works vehicle.
But the way you're talking about is the other way around, that the county actually owns the vehicle through public works and waste management and then charging back for air district time.
Right. That's an alternative way. I know.
My concern there is, would you have dedicated use of it for the air district?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or would it become a pool vehicle?
Well, and if it did, that's part of the problem right now. I take from Public Works pool vehicles, and the time demands for air district. Right now, I've been using a truck from back here from Public Works, and the time requirement is really starting to impact Public Works staff when they need to go out and use a vehicle. So if that was the case, I could see that as being a potential problem. If it was a Public Works pool vehicle and Air District was just renting a percentage of it.
Does the county maintain vehicles that are dedicated for specific uses instead of being pool vehicles? Or is everything in a pool?
No, county has dedicated vehicles for dedicated departments, and they also have a pool.
Only Ted has a full-time vehicle anytime he needs it.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'd like to see that looked at, and I'd like to revisit that as an option.
One thing, Public Works, to answer your question, though, Public Works did transition to in the last 3 years, I'd say, is not having assigned vehicles. And instead of every inspector, every person having a vehicle, we have a pool of, say, four vehicles, and then we all share them, essentially. So we were able to cut down on the vehicle cost that way because we didn't need as many. Everybody didn't have to have a vehicle assigned to them. So, sure. So to answer your question, right now, Public Works, anyways, operates on kind of a pool basis.
You know, I like Robin's suggestion. I'd also like to investigate if there's any other scenarios where County General Services provides a vehicle to a department that is then pro rata leased or rented out to another function or another department. And I say that because then you get back into this, similar as your salary was treated, this fully loaded cost, which is going to be introduced, if I know our GSA personnel well enough, it's going to be introduced, the loaded insurance costs, the loaded existence of the county motor pool and maintenance costs and I'd be real interested in what kind of rate that results in if we currently provide that service to any other entity.
That's why I said earlier, I think this needs to be investigated more by staff.
I think, John, to answer your question, I think that's how the GSA Motor Pool operates, is they have vehicles and then pick a department, any department, they then provide that vehicle to the department, and there's a depreciation cost assigned to the vehicle over, say, 7 years or whatever they anticipate the life of that vehicle to be. And so then that department will pay, say, $500 a month. And, it's not cheap.
Then there's also a maintenance cost, too.
Yeah, there's maintenance costs.
Yeah, so if all those things are rolled in there, you might be much more efficient to buy our own.
That's right.
It's just my suspicion.
Might be cheaper.
What's cheaper, a battery or a phone?
A phone.
This is another thought. And Jeff Holmes is a real straight shooter. Jeff's a good man. But I wonder if they ought to have another bid or two if you're going to purchase something, just to so you don't stink like Ion does, because you have more than one person on it. Does that make any sense, just to make sure it's fair?
Well, they have a nice local young man down there, Marty Ferdani from Big Valley Ford, might be able to get
it. I go for Jeff, and I go for keeping it local, but just to keep it honest. And does the GSA have any surplus in Sacramento?
Well, we don't have surplus in Sacramento. We have surplus up here, but they auction it off through auctioneers in Sacramento and Stockton.
I know years ago we bought a pickup through someplace under a bridge in Sacramento, but they had surplus.
Yeah, the first thing I did is checked with GSA and see what vehicles they had available. And actually, there was a comment that they had some vehicles coming back from, Chris, what, ACNET? something, ACNET. You guys are familiar with that, I'm not. But apparently there were two vehicles coming back from ACNET, and there was a possibility that one of those vehicles could be, provided to the Air District. But I guess there's some complications with who owns it, and if there was grant money, then does that mean it has to go back? And it was really getting pretty convoluted.
Those are probably going to be big vehicles, too. But why don't you do some research, too? I think Mike Bortano probably had his own dedicated vehicle.
That belongs to Ag.
Yeah.
So he had, but he probably had a dedicated vehicle that he was using as the Ag Commissioner. So we're in a little bit different situation here where the county just can't afford to go out and buy another vehicle for you to use part-time as the air district person, too.
Well, and that's one thing, Robin, to your point, is for waste management, I didn't have that in my budget this year, so I can tell you for sure that waste management wouldn't have any capacity until next budget year to even think about, springing for a new vehicle that then could get reimbursed from Air District. As far as Air District, as far as the budget, if there was, I don't know exactly what the status is, but if there was money in Air District, then waste management could make payments on a monthly basis, but as far as a lump sum purchase, I know that waste management wouldn't be able to.
Get you NEV.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we let staff continue with this investigation. And in the meantime, if the director of our Air Resource Board needs to use a vehicle, maybe he could rent one off a motor pool or Jeff Holman, and also look into the possible release of those vehicles from ACNET if they're going to be up for purchase, and look into Jeff Holman and look into maybe, what's the other one, Lewis?
Big Valley Ford.
Big Valley Ford, and come back to this board.
Talk to Marty Ferdani, Fleet Sales.
That's a motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you.
Second.
Your next scheduled meeting is January.
We can have one in between.
Yeah, if we have to.
What is expected to come back from this investigation?
I'd like some clarification on the motion. I guess it's to investigate all the options.
All the options.
That's correct.
But is it also to look into the questions that were asked here about the structure of how you're going to, whether it's going to be Air District vehicle leased to the county part-time or county vehicle leased to the Air District part-time.
Correct.
What kind of a vehicle and how to purchase it.
That's right.
Well, and I think Mr. McCarty is going to have to, I think you're going to need some four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive so you can get out there during the winter and do what you got to do. And, plus I don't know what kind of materials you have to carry around with you, if you have to carry around anything, so that's going to be on your call, I think. I think I'm going to leave that up to your discretion.
But I think
so long as it's not an NEV.
No, I think the all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive will be an important part of it for complaints, and especially in the wintertime.
All right. Mr. Novelli, with that shortening up your motion, that was okay?
Yes.
And the second? I'm sorry, I missed
it. Yeah, that's
fine. All right. Have a motion by Director Novelli, a second by Director Boitano. On further questions, if not, we'll call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So moved. Move along to item number 5.
Okay.
Timber grant to Vance Trucking.
This item would like to bring it forward for some discussion and possible direction on this. Mr. Vance Trucking was the recipient of a timber, Carl Moyer program, timber program grant. Mr. Vance was advanced $50,000 for the grant. However, the grant was not entirely complete and entered into the CARL database, the State Clean Air Reporting Log database. And when that was done, that gives you the final calculation and determines the calculated grant amount. And when that was done, after the fact, after Mr. Vance was given $50,000 by the Air District, it calculated out to $45,000. The California Air Resources Board has informed the district that the grantee, Rick Vance, must reimburse the Carl Moyer Timber Program $5,000. And the return of the money must be clearly documented, showing that the funds did come from Mr. Vance. At the bottom of the memo, and I know Brian Onetto may want to speak to this because I have had some conversations with Brian Onetto, but there was some discussion on whether using mileage or fuel allowed for the maximum amount of money. And fuel was used as the determining factor, and you can see that's where the $45,000. If mileage were to be used, it would actually result in a grant award of $35,000. So obviously we don't even want to look at it in terms of mileage. The fuel comes out to the maximum amount, $45,000, but unfortunately it leaves us in a position where $5,000 is too much. Was given to Mr. Vance.
Mr. Vance, part of this conversation?
You know, at some point in time, he's probably going to have to be. I talked to him and told him kind of what I understood to be a situation. And his reply basically was, hey, he went out and bought a new truck, relying on that information from the Amarillo Air District. Said, hey, he doesn't have the money to pay back. So he didn't seem real receptive to paying back the extra dollars that he's awarded. And so I think it's a problem.
What does the state do in a case like that if they don't get the payment? Take it out of our hide?
I don't know, Chris, if you have any thoughts on that. Right now what the state has done is they've sent an email request to the Air District saying that the $5,000 does need to be returned because the amount awarded to the grantee was not correct. It should have been $45,000. Beyond that, I just kind of picked this hot potato up, and so I haven't gone much further than that. I haven't had discussions directly with Mr. Vance, and that's kind of what I was looking for, is some direction from the board. I certainly can send a letter or request a meeting, get some more information from the Air Resources Board.
The state,
yeah, on, you know, what if any other options are available. I know from my personal experience in waste management and grant programs that, you know, once they see something that doesn't look right, then they put you under the microscope and they start wanting to look at everything. So I guess, Lewis, what I would say is potentially that could be something down the road, is now that they've, you know, if they determine, you know, this didn't go well, this didn't go right, then they're going to start, you know, really looking at things with a much, much finer tooth comb.
Who calculated the amount he should get?
From what I understand is that Mike Boitano requested that a check be cut by Chris, and Chris issued the check. So the initial calculations were done by Mike.
And just understand then that state handed Mr. Vance $50,000 to buy a new truck.
The Air District did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you there, Lloyd. I mean, you're saying that we cut the check to Mr. Vance, then I take it we got reimbursed that same amount from the Air District, because now this, or from CARB, excuse me, the Air Resources Board. And now this secondary, or one of the second to last paragraphs, says that CARB has told us that the grantee must reimburse the program and have clearly documented showing that the money has come from him.
So I want to know who calculated what he had coming. Did we make a mistake? Did the state not catch it? Did the county make the mistake?
County don't make mistakes.
Yeah, and I'll have Chris.
Okay, how this program works. We said that we would participate in the program, the timber program. You did the resolutions, everything else. They sent us the funds. I believe it was like $73,000 came to the area for projects. Vance was a project that was brought forward and was a good project. Mike handled the entire thing, and I apologize because I'm throwing Mike right under the bus, or the truck in this case.
You threw Mike under the bus?
I am.
Okay. Well, no, I just want to know who figured the numbers, because
Mike figured the whole thing. I never had hands on it until he was out the door.
She's apologizing for having
it. That's okay.
How the program works, the application is done, the information is entered into this CARL database, and the grant amount is computed. The district then writes a check for that amount. It's very straightforward.
Sounds like that should have occurred before the
and it's
award
supposed
was given.
Exactly. Mike didn't do it. He did not give the package to ARB for them to do it either. Told me he had.
So ARB may have caught the mistake.
They would have caught the mistake. What actually happened is, and because I asked Mike, and he says, well, it was so close to the next break, I made the executive decision and rounded up.
That's right.
And that is how he had me cut the check for $50,000. Or he had me do the claim. He signed off on the claim. He was, $50,000 was paid.
And you can let me understand how this works. So somebody gave Mr. Vance $50,000 free dollars, and he doesn't have $5,000 out of his 10 or 12 trucks that he owns to give $5,000 of that $45,000 free money back.
That's okay. What the other Mr. Lunetto was saying, yes.
Or he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Well, I think what else may be happening too, now I imagine people can get loans, but he's had to buy, he's either going on his second or third new truck that he's being forced to buy, but do the airboard program. So, I mean, that could put a pretty, I imagine a new truck's probably $120,000 would be my guess, give or take a little.
Oh, easy. Well, Brian, it's no different getting money from the IRS. They send you a refund check and they want it back. You don't tell them, well, I'm sorry. I don't think that'd work out too good for you.
Clean the fifth.
I mean, Jim, do you perceive this as to be an issue that now exists between CARB and Mr. Vance?
Yes.
Or CARB
and
us.
And more to the point, if I could dovetail with
yes.
that, if the district recognized that it made a mistake and was willing to swallow hard and accept the mistake, financially, I mean, is there still an issue with CARB, or does CARB care where the money comes from? I get the impression
they care.
CARB cares where the money comes from.
Don't you read that, John? They really care.
Yeah. Clearly documented showing that the funds did come from Mr. Vance.
Chris, do you believe that to be...
That's absolutely true. I went at this every direction I could think of. Did not, out of another pocket, slip him $5,000 to make up for it.
And so saying that, then, does that mean that if this was calculated at $45,000, he wouldn't have taken the money?
You don't know.
It had to be $50,000, I won't take it?
You don't know. It was a Mike deal.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, somebody give you $45,000 here, or $50,000, and I want $5,000 back. You give me $50,000, I'll give you $5,000 back.
Your point is well taken. He's still $45,000 ahead.
And the question I have, if push comes to shove, and he says, no, I either don't want to pay it or can't pay it, who goes after who then and say it stays there? Can the Air Board go after him? Can the state go after him? Or if neither of those happen...
Ooh, that was kind of my question.
Can the state say, okay, well, fine, that happened. We're done with that. And end of that pursuit, but you're no longer getting any of that timber program money or any other Air Board program money.
Well,
that's the real danger here. Yeah. The exposure on the district's part is that if this isn't resolved in some fashion, then we risk not receiving future funds. We can't participate in the program in the future. I mean, that's the hammer the state has over you.
Could perhaps you set up a meeting with him, you and Brian, and talk to him and lay all this stuff out?
I think probably have to.
Yeah, the sooner goes, the worse it gets.
Seems to me you might even be able to work out a payment plan.
I think not just Jim. I think Jim and Director Onetto need to meet with Mr. Vance again, explain the situation. Look, say we screwed up as the Air Board and try to work out a payment plan. Look, you still got $45,000 in free money. Got to work it out.
And if you don't work it out, what's the likelihood that Mr. Vance is going to get future timber money from this program?
What's the likelihood anybody in Amador County is going to have?
We will. Yeah. And how can one person kill it for everybody? That doesn't seem right, you know. He can't thumb his nose at us. If he does, then can we thumb our nose at the state or the program? I mean, I don't think it works that way.
It wouldn't be right for this district to thumb our nose at anybody if we're going to hurt other businesses in this county.
Yeah, because the Carl Moyer program is much larger than just the timber program.
Right.
Another question, and I guess Mike must have figured it out. I thought they had a hard time getting the mileage to qualify, the rest of truckers, loggers. But I guess that must have worked.
For this one, it worked out, but they went with the
fuel.
As opposed to the mileage
of the log.
Yeah, and it's different. You're thinking about the original Air Board program. This is different.
Veto. Send veto 1 and 2.
I think I would definitely take copy of this letter. It says the return must be clearly documented, show the funds come from Mr. Vance, that we're willing to financially swallow and own up to our mistakes, but they won't let us do that.
That would probably be helpful, actually. Yeah. It's a good point, Pat.
At least that part of it.
I don't think it should be represented that we're the Air Board willing to swallow and own up to our mistakes. I don't know that that's the position of the board. It's not the position of this director.
You know, the Air Board makes a mistake and pays, but...
No, there's not much we can do about it.
The Air Board makes nothing from this. It's all pass-through money.
Right.
You're just trying to help somebody. It's all, you know, we're not profiting from this, or the Air Board isn't.
And in the end, we did help him to the tune of $45,000.
And I think I understand it. I think part of the problem is there's a lot of people out in the industry who are really unhappy because they have a business model predicated on something or what they can afford. And all of a sudden you have the state coming in, telling them, hey, you got to buy 2-3 new trucks, whatever it may be. And people are feeling some pain. And, you know, we're the Air District. Hey, well, we didn't set up all these rules. But you know how it is. People still look and say, well, you're part of that whole apparatus. Can't blame them for that. But.
And you know, though, Brian, you talk to any little trucker around and they're all biting. I mean.
Yeah. And they're not happy.
Oh. I don't think it's going to work, though, if just Jim goes to see him because he might come out of there getting shot at. So I think you better go, too.
Brian, for
you got to listen, Richard. They already said 3 times that it's Brian and Jim.
Just tell him you're going to meet him on his Williamsonac property where he's doing his truck business. So.
Ask him
that's
if he's got
a
little.
That's a little.
Let's go on offense. Good thinking, Richard. All right.
Hear that?
So Jim, you and I will
to set
together
up that meeting.
Contact Mr. Vance and meet with him.
Right. I'll schedule something for us.
Okay. So we're going to recommend a meeting with Brian and Jim, Mr. Vance, and you'll report back. Did they give us some deadline of when they wanted an answer, the CARB?
No, and I was going to recommend that I make contact with the CARB staff person and ask for some official letter from them outlining what she had put in the email, so that we could then take that official letter from the Air Board to our meeting.
Okay.
Ask for forgiveness first.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they'll let her go.
Doesn't sound like it. All right, we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Item number six, our community project ideas, discussion, possible action. Some we had talked about, some are coming back. You're going to lead this one too, Jim?
Yeah, sure will. I just wanted to put together kind of a brief list here of things that were on the top of my head based upon our last meeting, and there was some discussion on, you know, doing some more projects and doing some more community-focused things. And so this list that you have is by no means, you know, anything definite. Actually, what I'd like to get from the board is, you know, some ideas and suggestions where we can look at some of these, maybe take some off, maybe add some other ones that aren't on here. I see this as potentially being a recurring thing on our agenda so that we can kind of keep a focus on ideas that we have that we would like to put time and energy and resources into. And so that's where we're at. We have the Neighborhood Pine Needle Collection Project seasonal forest / to biomass fuel. John Plass had mentioned that. Lawnmower replacement program, wood stove replacement, and then education and outreach. And so, again, those are just a few items that I had kind of swirling around in the back of my head based upon, you know, our meeting last time. And as far as moving forward, at least in the immediate near term, I think this Neighborhood Pine Needle Collection Project seasonal is a worthwhile thing to do, and we've already had some discussions, us as staff at the Air District, on a couple different items. One is Vista Sierra. Apparently they've had participated in the program previously, and they've called the Air District and requested if there was the opportunity to have the program again. The Oaks, Richard Forster and I are meeting with the Oaks tonight, and they've shown an interest.
And we've already met with them.
And we've met with them before, and they've shown an interest in the in a green waste program because they currently burn all their green waste across the street during the fall and winter. There's some other ones, Pioneer Resort Lodge. I looked at Volcano. Volcano may be a good idea. Comanche. So those are some thoughts I had on that program, and I just wanted to see if there was any input from the board.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say a lot of these programs I think would do good for all the outlying areas and the inline areas of the county. So anyway, this board thinks we could help out the communities in the county, I think would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think the first two probably seem to me right off the top of my head to be the most viable, biggest bang for the buck. As far as the Neighborhood Pine Needle Collection projects, I think they'd probably be even more helpful where you have smaller lots. If you got 5, 10, 20 acre lots, probably doesn't matter quite as much, but if you got a whole bunch of little half acre, 1 acre lots, or smaller, like Mesa Meadows would come to mind, I could see it probably be real beneficial there.
River Pines too, I think, down in River Pines area. So you get a bend down
it,
there in
could.
Downtown and get some of those people to haul up some of their pine needles in River Pines.
Jim, how do those pine needle programs work?
Basically, the Air District will provide a debris box, I think 20, 30, 40, different sizes depending on the needs. They'll provide a debris box in a specific location, and I think past experience has taught both the air district staff and myself and waste management that anytime you put a box out, you got to have someone take ownership of it, and it's got to be monitored and controlled. And for example, the Oaks, Richard and I met with the Oaks, and they would keep one of theirs behind a locked gate, and they would notify their tenants that at such and such time they could put material in. So it's very important to avoid hazardous materials being dumped, garbage being dumped, that only the material that we're looking for is put in there, and it's only for a set period of time. So a program over, you know, some specific period of time is how it's worked in the past.
And where does the material go?
The material goes to Vicini Brothers, I believe. Is it?
Yeah, I could see if you don't have somebody doing oversight, you'd have a dumpster load of garbage in a short order.
Yeah.
What happens?
The dumpsters we get through ACES.
In the forest slash to biomass fuel program, how does that work? What's the mechanism?
Well, that's something new, Robin. And in talking with both the Forest Service and biomass company and Vicini Green Waste, I don't know if you've traveled 88 much recently, but there's some very large slash piles up 88 that are actually scheduled to be burned. Forest Service plans on just burning those up because biomass can't pay enough to cover the cost of transporting those down and the chipping process is necessary. And so the suggestion was sort of rather than see this forest slash just burned and put into our atmosphere, if our you know, responsibility here is air quality, that that we somehow utilize some of these revenues of ours to sort of subsidize the cost of the chipping and hauling of those forest biomass products and maybe engage the Forest Service in some sort of cost sharing there because they have some cost associated with just burning them if it's not just personnel costs and bring that material to the biomass plant for use in their activities. And my understanding is they're kind of starving for fuel right now anyway, and rather than see that go up in smoke literally up there, it should satisfy some of the requirements of lowering greenhouse gas emissions because when it's burned down there, it's going through the scrubbers and filtration systems rather than just open air in the high country.
Isn't there a limit on how much forest fuel power plant can accept through that CBD litigation settlement? I think 15% is the limit. Do we have any idea where they are within that 15%?
No, and I was going to, later on the agenda, we're going to talk about the Center for Biological Diversity settlement, and I did see something with respect to a 15% limit. I don't know exactly how that is. I'm looking for another document that's referenced in that. And that document is called the Forest Protection Framework, attached as Annex 1, but it's not attached. I haven't got my hands on it. So I'm hoping to get more information on what the limitation by the biomass plan is. But you're right, it could be limiting.
I think you need to talk to Mike Mustin, who's the primary on the biomass, and he did say that they were at the max they could get out of the forest, and it is impacting their operation because they could be getting a lot more waste. But whether we could utilize Supervisor or Director Plaza's suggestion and the Air District work with U.S. Forest Service and work to get it out of the forest with the intent, with our intent of finding a place for it, that place could be the biomass plant.
Our biomass plant, Buena Vista?
Could be, but it would have to be such that we would be taking it there. Not that the biomass plant would be taking it out of the forest. See what I mean? You're not saying that BB Biomass is counting that as a portion of their percentage they're allowed to take out of the forest.
No. Oh.
Interesting.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's danger.
No, why wouldn't it work? If
I don't know.
That doesn't enter the calculation, then I don't see where it would impact. But let's talk to Mike Mustin and let him make the decision. As long as it's done correctly, Center for Biological Diversity shouldn't have any say-so in it.
Now, I wonder if, I would think the Center for Biological Diversity would probably step into that plant to be proposed in Wilsonville and make sure they have the same requirement. It would seem sensible, unless they're just flat hypocrites.
Well, they negotiated.
I can't be.
Yeah.
What's negotiated and sensible sometimes aren't the same.
Negotiated under duress.
Yep. All right, any more on
is
the
there,
community?
Can I just ask, sure. Is there a contact at the Forestry Service, John? Is
yeah, that would be Rick Hobson.
295-5910.
They were anticipating that question, Jim.
Yeah.
And Jim, I'll give you the contact information for Mike Mustin, who's the
Mustin.
Primary.
Yeah.
His son's out there, but I think Mike's the one you want to go through.
Mike is the one.
He's based back in the Midwest, I think.
Minneapolis.
And then the other ones, lawnmower replacement, wood stove replacement, education and outreach, I haven't been able to dig much into those, but those are just, again, project ideas that I had on mine.
I like the first two. Like the Pine Needle program and the Forest Slash program, if that can be made to work. I think those, a lot of bang for the buck there.
Yeah.
And the wood stove program, that worked 1 year really good, and then a couple years it was kind of not much response.
Yeah, we didn't get much bite on it last year at all.
Yeah, but the first year we did it, it was pretty successful, if I remember right. Or moderately. But last year,
I don't remember.
Flashing and flumes and all sorts of things that was not making it price effective for them. And Mike chose not to go forward with actually offering the project.
Look, if you've had to price any of that triple wall pipe lately, you know why the cost is what it is.
Yeah.
Well,
give
yeah.
it away.
And the thing is apparently we paid for the stove, but then they're left with all the cost to put it in.
Right, yeah. You got to replace all your chimney flues and pipe and roof flashing and all that, yeah.
And get a permit.
Yeah.
Costs more than the stove does.
Well, we didn't give them $50,000. Had to ask for $5,000.
So you're going to keep that on the agenda, this community project, Jim,
yeah,
as we go along?
And would like to just recommend that if there's any other suggestion or ideas from the board, please feel free to let me know, because I'd like to add it to the list.
So the direction to staff is to look into the first two. Is that what I'm hearing? And
yep, as far as I'm concerned.
Sort of flesh those out and bring back some whatever limitations that we're subject to under the CDBG or whatever the hell it is, CBD.
Can I ask a question just for knowledge, for information? Okay, the first two, this is to help pollution. So did anybody do a study to see how much pollution a real dry brush pile burns when it burns hot as compared to a loader going up the road and a loader dragging it up there and the trucks going down, how much pollution they give off? I wonder if there's been a balance of do you save 10 pollutions and burn 11 to get into the biofuel plant? Just curious.
I think in part that may have been where that CBD, whatever, where that agreement came from is back then they thought that the extra trucks on the road, skewed the formula so that it was polluting more by having the trucks on the road. Now with the new standards, maybe not. I don't know, but
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Well, and they were planning on just leaving all the slash piles sit and rot.
Oh.
And not calculating the greenhouse gas emissions that gives off in turn, but just sit and rot because they were habitat.
CBD was also afraid that, without a cap on forest-based fuels,
ignore this.
There'd be a an artificial demand for forest removal.
Okay.
And they didn't factored into the logic if there was any at all.
Yeah, I mean, look at the natural selection of the forest going on today over in El Dorado.
Yeah.
Was about probably 15,000 acres right now.
Yeah. So don't allow that natural demand or that artificial demand to increase that, but federally fund them through thinning projects that are non-revenue generating.
That's true.
We need to prune the forest.
All right, you got your marching orders on that, Jim?
Sure do.
Okay. Then item 7 is your update.
Okay.
Here we come, the Amador City Director.
Yeah. And
Jim, could I stop you for a second?
Sure.
Will there be any discussion on these matters, or are you just going to give us an update? I have a conflict of interest if we're going to go into any discussion.
Just basically an update, except for the BV settlement agreement. I was looking for some direction on that one. You want to take that one first real quickly?
Yeah, and I'll step out of the room.
Okay.
I have a conflict. I work for them.
Okay. Okay.
Don't forget I'm out.
You know, actually, on the...
back to Amador City. You got to step out.
I ain't going back to Amador City.
Thinking.
Okay, so we'll take
Jim? Huh? Give me a second. I'm thinking, family has some land involved in this deal. Not me personally, but I've stepped out on similar things. I think I will in this one, too.
Okay.
11 Quorum?
On the Buena Vista.
I have to, no.
I said once that I like Mike Mustin's.
Is this on the Buena Vista Trailer Park?
No. Biomass.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You don't have anything... conflict, do you, with biomass?
Not biomass, no. No, I don't have any conflict, I just burn it.
So we'll take up the Buena Vista Biomass Plant Settlement Agreement with the Center for Biological Diversity, and you have that agreement in your packet. And on page 3, under Article 3, there's a greenhouse gas mitigation fund that says Buena Vista shall establish a fund in the amount of $75,000. And then next it says Buena Vista shall contribute $25,000 of the fund for three years, to the Air District. So now that Buena Vista Biomass Plant is up and running under permit, technically speaking, this money, this first $25,000 is due. But if you look on the next page, page 4, under 3.1.3, those are the limitations on what we can do with this money. And you can see A, increasing energy efficiency or conservation in existing buildings, B, installing new renewable energy generation, C, reducing greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles, D, reducing vehicle trips by increased walking, biking, carpooling, and use of public transit.
That's how you can get your smart car.
Yeah, there's my vehicle. $25,000 too. So the question is, do we want to remind them and request this $25,000? If you go on further and if you read 3.1.5 and 0.6, there's some strings attached. There's reporting required. It's not a real simple thing. So I'm not sure whether we want the money right now, considering the limitations on it.
But if you put it in a special fund and don't utilize it for a while, that doesn't hurt anything.
We have 11 months to spend it.
Would it allow you to purchase a vehicle under C?
I didn't even think of that, but Lewis?
An all-terrain electric vehicle or whatever.
Flex fuel or...
Yeah. Jim... I know you guys are going to do this, but I did read this on the computer, even though I'm too late, but I still read it.
Yeah.
So explain this to me. CBG enacted this $25,000 to $75,000 total for The county didn't require him. It's a CBG.
This was an agreement between the county and
between Buena Vista Biomass and CBD.
Okay.
So to keep them from beating them up, we agreed to give you $75,000 to a fund.
Yeah.
Okay, so now in the back, I thought I read where it said if it's not used in a certain length of time, they get their hooks in it. Did I see that on the end of that report? If it's not spent in so much time, CBG comes in for some money?
I believe you're correct.
And it also states that parties must fulfill their obligations underneath this section.
I don't want them to have a dime.
Yep.
I don't care if you buy three cars.
I agree.
Yeah.
Says they may withhold.
Fulfill the obligation. I don't know what that.
So keep on top of that one and figure out something.
Yeah.
No, you're going to talk to Mr. Mustin anyway.
Yeah.
So you could talk to him about this issue. And the way I read that, I would think it would make sense to buy a low emission vehicle, qualify for what they've stated here.
Yeah.
Reducing greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles. Okay. Tell them your other option is running that Expedition around, but you'll buy a Yugo if it.
That could be the comparison.
Yeah. They didn't put a condition on what car can be bought or who can drive it.
In the police interceptor.
And Jim, there is nothing for their attorney to come back and get like they do with the rest of public funds. There's no compensation for their work.
Out of this money?
Out of any county money that over this project.
No, not that.
Because normally when the Sierra Club and those radicals, then they send an attorney bill to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is just blood money.
The community review was Catherine Evett. That's interesting. They got into all of this.
How do you think CBD ended up involved in Buena Vista in the first place?
Yeah.
The same group that's supporting the other upcountry candidate for District 3.
That was that.
Make sure if they're going to provide that $25,000, make sure you get whatever administrative money is allowable there, which is 5%.
Yeah, and you see all these reporting requirements, and under 3.2 it says for the life of the project, all this reporting. But this idea of a car, I really like it.
Jim, there's $75,000 got to be given out by the biomass outfit. If it's blood money, keep it home. I think the biomass is a good deal. I don't think they should be extorted, but they are. I don't want them people getting their hooks in it.
Everybody in the county, I get a free electric lawnmower.
No thanks.
You can reply on published data relied on to provide a reasonable estimate of those reductions. So a low emission cars, they've got stats that show what it saves over, per mile. So that'd be a justifiable. And the more I think about that, that's be an excellent way to spend that money.
I really agree with you on that.
Love to find a way to spend it chipping the slash piles up there and bringing them.
No, but if we use that this money for this kind of project, why can't we use our own money that comes in, our own revenues, for shipping those slash piles down? That has nothing to do with Center for Biological Diversity, and we can ship that wherever we want. We can ship it to Vicini's if we want.
Yeah.
I agree with Director Plaz. That would take care of a lot of those emissions that will be created by the burning.
It comes down to whether the language says that BV Biomass can only use 15% of their total production fuels from forest biomass, or if they can only personally take that much percentage out of the forest. It gets down to semantics, but
if you read in this this agreement where it speaks to the 15%, which is 6.4, the way that section is written, it's talking about 15% if Buena Vista is precluded from reaching net profitability, then these other things kick into place. And one of them is the 15%. So I'm not sure if that 15% is just in that event when BV is not profitable or if it's during normal operating conditions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think before we do any of this, Jim, you got to bring this up to Greg Gillott and make sure that he overreads his contract to make sure there's no...
Yes.
No bites in it, because
average
reading these attorney fees, you know they're going to come after us if we do one thing way just a little bit off scope.
What would be curious to me is in the settlement discussions in closed session, which I'm not going to talk about, the individual that the lawsuit was in the name of got money to do some certain things. I wonder if he did the certain things with the money that he received from the biomass. That should have probably been put into the agreement.
Yeah.
Or no.
All right, well, Jim, you wanted some direction. You're going to talk this Mike Muntz.
Yep.
And on the ability to use those funds.
That's
for
right.
A low emission vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else we want to?
Expert on this is going to be
Mr. Mustin. So I.
That's what he
recommend Jim talk to him, because he did say it is causing a hardship on him not being able to take the forest source material in larger quantities.
Yeah, and I did do an inspection and a pretty extensive tour of the BV biomass plant, and their manager there said that they only have about 7 days of feedstock, and yeah, they would like 30 days.
Well, the other problem is one of their major or best salesmen went to work for the Stockton biomass facility and took all of his contacts with him.
Oh. All right. Do we need a motion on that or just direction for Jim?
I think direction is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, bring back the...
Want me to grab them?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, grab them.
Now we're back to the Amador City Directorate.
Don't let any of them... Don't let a dime.
Right.
I agree, Lloyd.
Especially over in Wilseyville, they got that.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if the Wilseyville project is subject to the same limitation.
Yeah, a small one.
All right, welcome back, directors.
Okay, and on the Amador City Director update, I heard back from the clerk at Amador City, and she said we're in a real pickle right now, down to three councilmen. Mr. Vasquez resigned, and she asked, does the appointee have to be an elected official? Tim cannot make the meetings due to his job at the Franchise Tax Board in Sacramento. So they're having some trouble, I guess, being able to, first of all, have enough council people, it sounds like, but she's asking, and I believe it has to be an elected person.
Well, won't that get solved in November? Aren't there some people running for city council?
They, Richard, you?
In Amador City?
In Amador City.
They adopted a resolution to appoint two incumbents, as I recall, because it was in a contested election. And later on in the same meeting is when Vasquez resigned. So that four-year term was immediately abandoned by Vasquez.
Oh, boy.
So,
as the chairman of ACTC, I told ACTC to reach out to Amador City or go back to the clerk of the Board of Supervisors to the select committee, and Amador City came up with a Michael Brown, I believe, to sit on ACTC board and fill out the term.
Yeah, she mentions John Swift she doesn't think would be able to do it, but she doesn't know about Mike Brown, so that's a potential.
I'll keep trying. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. Where are we next?
District rules.
In the packet, there's a a letter from Ray Kapai that was done on April 5th, 2013. And it's regarding the district rules update. And apparently this is something that has been discussed and been kind of on the back burner for a while now. And it was, though, addressed by this board, and I believe it was put into the budget this last budget year. So I just wanted to give you an update. We had a meeting. I met Mr. Kapai for the first time recently, just in the last couple weeks, and he noted that, you know, the project probably wouldn't be able to get started until after the first of the year, I think he said, to do the rules update, but just wanted to give you that update on the fact that the rules update is still out there and is pending.
All right.
What was the cause of the delay?
To do the rules update?
We approved this quite a while ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
Chris, do you know?
Probably foremost on that was EPA was kind of up in the air as to far as deadlines were concerned and exactly what was going to be requested or demanded. And so Ray felt it was best to just kind of sit back and wait and see what they actually came up with instead of jumping into it and doing more than was actually needed. They've now decided we now have a good direction.
Thank you.
One of my questions would be on the first bullet point on the first attachment where it says changes in local air quality and attainment status. Amador County actually improved its air quality attainment status within the last couple of years and was deemed to be in attainment. So my question is, where it says this affects the definition of major sources, logic would indicate that because we improved our air quality status and reached this attainment level, would our rules that affect where we've got to require the use of BA, best available control technology would be, in fact, lessened rather than heightened, but they're saying most districts require the use of BACT if emissions exceed 10 pounds a day versus ours that are 100 tons a year. So,
right, and
I wouldn't see us getting more strict in our local rules if we have, in fact, improved our air quality attainment status.
And I had that very question, John, and I wrote, what does this mean? What do you mean by this bullet point?
Yeah.
And what I've gathered is that you're right. We reached attainment since the last time our rules are set, and so the objective would be to do a rules update to then codify that attainment and lock in, you know, what our status is as opposed to, you know, having this more stricter BACT, you know, imposed upon us. We would incorporate into the rules the fact that we are in attainment.
Now, is this BACT required of permittees of ours under the air district or required of us? Because if...
Required of our permittees, I believe.
Yeah. What I'm getting at, I wouldn't want to see us starting to make every little generator of some described pollutant, including CO2 nowadays, to have to install this technology. I mean, that would be a significant cost for a number of businesses to have to install greater technology by us lowering the emissions output levels at where we require it.
And you're correct. Part of what needs to be done is a lot of our rules haven't been touched for 20, 30 years. And they are very outdated. They do not even comply with what the state standards are. They need to be brought into alignment. Because whether our rules say 10 or 100 tons, if the state requires that it be at such and such level, that's where the sources have to be. We cannot make it less stringent than what the state requires.
I realize that, but we sure as heck don't have to make it any more stringent.
No, we don't.
And they have to be state rules and not just state guidelines.
I'm looking at my notes from April, I can't believe how long ago it was, April 16 of 2013. And we did vote to take on this project with the stipulation that rules are only updated to reflect current federal and state law and not to reflect trend amongst other air districts. Only bring them up to date in accordance with current law, and that's it. So that was the direction to staff at the time. It's important maybe to remind, it's been so long, it may be good to have a conversation with Ray and make sure that
yes.
he recalls that direction.
Yes.
And just a note of interest, kind of off subject, but I thought it was kind of note, was I saw where it was, I think it was the city of L.A. They got like a $250,000 fine because they can't get their, they don't have their fleets in compliance with the airborne regulations. And I thought, I think they have more money just about anybody around. If they can't do it, what about all small cities and counties? So I think this thing's not over yet.
All right. Jim?
Okay. So we'll move on to Carl Moyer VIP project update. And this one, I want to commend Chris for bringing this to my attention because this particular project is concerning Sierra Pine and a grant to replace some equipment. Much like the discussion we had on the Vance project, and this project for Sierra Pine has been approved through the agency CAPCOA, but in taking a closer look at it, Chris brought it to my attention that there were some issues with the applicant, and actually the applicant didn't own the equipment at the time. Now, there's talk of possibly transferring the ownership of the equipment and being able to make the grant go through, but I very promptly sent a letter to the applicant on clarifying who owns the equipment so that before any money is distributed, we make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted before the distribution of this money. And again, Chris brought it to my attention, and I really grateful for that because this I saw this as possibly being another one of the Vance problems.
Sierra Pine and Ampine the same general business, or is it just
kind of sort of the grantee in this case is actually a company that's being brought in as a contractor to work the wood waste pile over there, do the hauling.
Yeah, Lopez Lopez Agriculture, something like that. And so originally, Sierra Pine was interested in the project. They started the process, the application, and they said, "Oh no, we've got this contractor now. Just do it through him." And apparently, it was just kind of shifted onto the contractor. But in fact, the contractor Lopez does not own the equipment, yet he's being the one as the grantee, and that's clearly not allowed in the grant rules. So this one, want to be very careful with it so that we don't end up getting stung by this one.
We're only able to award these funds to the owner of the equipment.
Right. Have to show ownership and have to show demonstrate usage of the equipment in the prior 2 years, 2 years previous. And so from what my initial look at it is, the equipment sat idle for 2 years. So there's a problem on two counts with this grant. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention so that it doesn't end up like the other one. That's all I had on that one.
Okay.
And then lastly is the financial reports that are included at the very end, and don't have anything necessarily to report on, just there for your review.
Everyone get a chance to look at them. Any questions, comments? How many changes, Chris? From
like expenses are running at a lesser number than the percentage of the year has gone, so that's always a good thing.
Yes, it is. All right. Any questions for Jim on those? All right. We're on to correspondence.
No correspondence.
No correspondence. All right. Any questions for the director?
Chris, thank you for your sharp eye on that. And Jim, just allow that grant to go through. Don't try to push it through. Don't get us in a jam or get the county in a jam. I'm sure when there's free money, the crooks come out of the woodwork.
All right. With that thought, we will adjourn until January 20th, 2015. Thank you.
Unless otherwise needed.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.